Well, one of these days we're going home. And you know what I want? I want everybody in this room to have victory in this life, day by day. And if you remember the verse, it said that we can have victory in our through our faith. I want you to see some of the steps of winning victory in this life. I love winning. I love to see winners. I've enjoyed the Olympic Games and watching people work and labor and prepare for 4 years and then come to a 10-second race or to come to a 20-second swim or to come to a 5-minute race or to a 2-second lift of the weights. And they prepare their whole life for that. I remember, how many of you remember Mary Lou Retton? I remember she was a gymnast, won a gold medal, and she sort of began the American process in many ways of excellence. And of course, we got a great coach, but she, since that point in time, she's a mom. She's had both hips replaced, and her coach said she was not very flexible. And so she paid the price for future years to win a gold medal. And we as Christians can pay a small price and win gold, silver, and precious stone in heaven. And I want everybody in this room to be victors. One of the saddest things to me is to see a Christian that fails. A Christian that doesn't have victory in their life. And I want you to see from Scripture today some of the things that will help you gain victory in your life. And victory is that you can look at sin and say, no, I'm not going to do that, and have victory. Now, that doesn't come easy. It comes with great sacrifice and labor and diligence. But the Lord says, I'll give you the victory. Listen to this. He says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. The world is the devil and the flesh, and you and I can overcome that. We can say no to that. One of the greatest privileges in the world is to be able to say no to sin. And I want that for everybody in this room. I can't give it to you. I can't make you have it. There's got to be this desire in your heart, a burning desire to say, I want to be a victorious Christian. And the Lord says, I'll strengthen your faith. You're not alone. I'll walk with you. I want you to see, first off, you'll see in this passage, 1 John chapter 2, notice if you would, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, I want you to see this, verse number 1, he says, my little children, the first part of having victory in the Christian life is you've got to be sure you know the Lord personally. You've got to have it settled. Notice if you would, in verse number 3, he says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The book of 1 John is the book of knowing. It's the book of assurance. It's the book of guaranteed that it's all settled. Notice if you have your Bible, famous verse, look in chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. One of the things that everybody in this room has got to get settled before you can have victory, because I promise you what the old devil will do. He'll sit on your shoulder and say, are you sure? There are whole denominations that people have come up to and said, Pastor, why is it that this group of people is that they live pretty clean, but yet that's a false doctrine? I said, well, how would you live if you knew if you didn't live good, you wouldn't get to heaven? Oh, I see. That's a good point. You know what Jesus did? He did not put on you and I living right get you to heaven. He put on you and I, living right, brings glory to the Lord and praise to Him. And it is a way He can look at you and say, thank you. He can give you rewards for doing what's right. But He said, you're my child, and that's settled. How many of you in this room are better than the Lord? And you have this idea, if your children don't do what's right, you're going to kick them out of the family. And when I say kick them out of the family, change their name, they're no longer your children, you can't do that. It's my blood. So you and I are saved by the blood of Christ. He's not doing that either. Notice, if you would, in verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. So the first thing is that you got to know you're saved. You got to have it settled. Now, let me just give you a few things that can help. I've known some people that didn't know when they were saved. That's scary to me. Let me see here. Brother Brian, when's your birthday? Brother Jim, when's your birthday? Benita, when's your birthday? Why is it y'all know that so quickly? Anybody here not know your birthday? Okay, let me ask you this question. Then why is it we don't know our second birthday? The first birthday, you weren't even aware. Somebody told you when it was. They could have tricked you. I could be 39 years old, and so I thought somebody could trick me. I look in the mirror, and I don't think they're that far off. That wasn't meant to be funny, I'm telling you. I look in the mirror, and I don't think it's that far off, but I do know that my mom said, and then they gave me a piece of paper that's officially stamped by the government that says my birthday is April the 7th. But everybody in this room, we know our birthdays. But we don't know when we were born again into the family of God. Which one's more important? Which one's more important? To have a birthday cake and have everybody around and you're going to blow out the candles. And sometimes as you get a little older, it needs a fire department to get all the candles out, you know. Just a bunch of them there. And you and I look at it. Which one's more important, that one or the one that you remember and take just a minute and say, Lord, I want to thank you today. Today's the day you saved me 6 years ago, 16 years ago, 36 years ago, 50 years ago. Now, you may not remember the exact date. That's really not the issue. What is the issue is this. You remember where you were when it happened. I mean, nobody gets saved by accident. I mean, you get saved when you come to the Lord and ask Him to save you. When you come to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. Lord, but would you forgive me of my sin? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made in salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember that. If it's settled in your heart, you remember that. Now, you may say, well, I don't recall the exact day. I've kind of lost the day. That's okay. But you remember being in that little room, getting down on your knees. You remember that couch you were sitting by. You remember the bedroom that you went to. You remember the car you were sitting in. You remember you asked the Lord to save you. I just remind you, if your name is written in the book of life, Revelation 20, 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Just remind yourself of this. Your name was written in that book at one point in time. Everybody's. It could have been at midnight. It could have been at 1 o'clock in the morning. It could have been at 11:30 in the afternoon. It could have been 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. But it was written in the book by an angel of God, for everybody in this room that's saved. Make sure it's settled. You don't have to know the date. I mean, you know, as long as you remember, there's a place and a time where you trust the Lord and Savior. That would be good enough. You'll notice here in the passage, when the old devil comes back to you and says, Harry, you're sure Dave Pittman, I just trot him back to that little room and say, you remember that? It's my stake in the ground. It settles it. Notice, if you would, if you're going to have victory, you've got to have eternal life settled. But I want you to notice the second thing. In verse number one of chapter 2, we just read it. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. He doesn't want us to keep on sinning. He said that you sin not. He said, look, I'm asking you not to be, to live in sin. Not to just keep on being in habitual sin. I'm asking you to sin not. Notice, if you would, these things write unto you that you sin not. You have a choice, and I'm asking you not to do that. And nowhere in the book does it say, if you do that, you're kicked out of the family. It does not say that, and it will not say that. Notice, if you would, he says, for he is the propitiation, verse number one, and this, that you sin not, and if any man sin. So he knows we're going to continue to sin. But the goal is that we would not. But when we do, by accident, or even on purpose, Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. God's not going to send His Son back to die again. Death's paid. That's why He hung on the cross and said, it is finished. It's over. And that finished is a cool word in the Greek text. It's in the perfect tense, which means what was done today has lasting results for all eternity. So when He washed away your sin, He paid the debt forever. It's over. It is finished. And everybody can go back to that cross, kneel down in front of that cross 2,000 years ago in your heart, and trust Christ as Savior, and your debt is paid forever. Well, you notice He said, but when you sin, and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is someone that stands up for you. And so you and I have to go to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. Notice, if you would, in verse 9 of chapter 1 of this passage, if we, who are we? Little children, God's children. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That next part of being having a victorious Christian life is living a clean life. Now, that's in two parts. Number one, Lord, I don't want to sin. But when we do step out of line, when we do fall into sin, we have the wrong thought, the wrong attitude. We simply say, Lord, I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, there's one thing you've got to know about the Lord, about His character. If you're sincerely sorry and ask Him to forgive you, He will 100% of the time forgive you. Never holds a grudge. What a wonderful God that is. He's always willing to forgive you. Notice the wording. I like it. If we can confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from almost all unrighteousness. Is that what it says? All unrighteousness. In other words, there's nothing you can do that the Lord Jesus will look at and say, oh, man, you did it this time. That one's some. I'm not forgiving that one. You really hurt me that time. I'm not going to forgive that one. He said, I'll forgive you for all sins. Now, you and I can cross the line and judgment still comes. Hebrews 10:26, 27 says this, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation. You can make the word angry. The Bible says in verse 31 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, He says this, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So you can make the Lord angry, but you can't keep the Lord from forgiving you. You need to be clean. In order to live the victorious Christian life, you got to make a commitment in your life. I want to live clean. I'm going to do my best to live clean. I'm going to do my best to do what's right. And that's the step number one to victory. You've got to want to be clean. You've got to want to have victory over sin. And so once that happens, then you begin to look for things. You begin to watch things in your life. And you'll notice what happens when we do fail. We go back to Him and say, Lord, quickly. Now, the thermometer in your life, spiritually, is how long it takes you to say, I'm sorry, from the time you commit a sin to the time you come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. If you argue with the Holy Spirit for a day or two, you're not a very good Christian. But the second you see that you did something wrong, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that thought. Will you forgive me? Instantaneous, quick. That person trying to walk with the Lord. Trying to keep a clean account. Keep short accounts. That's one of the ways that you're going to have a victorious Christian life. Stay clean and then keep short accounts. Don't let things build up. Make sure you keep things clean between you and the Lord. Make sure you keep nothing between you and the Lord Jesus. Make sure everything is right. Live right. Live clean. Now, you'll notice not only that, but I want you to see how you can do that. Look, if you would, in chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know the knowing if we keep His commandments. You've got to read the book. Notice, if you would, in verse 5. And whoso keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. In verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself so to walk as he walked. So he's given us his word. You and I have to study God's word. We have to know God's word. Throughout this book, he says, the commandments, the law, the word of God. So you and I have to take God's word and say, this is going to be my guidebook. And that is why it makes life so much simpler. I don't have to wait for him to pass a new law to figure out what I believe. It's already settled. I don't have to wait for our government to say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. I can look in the book and say, and teach my children from the ground up, this is what is right, this is what is right, and this is what is right. I can look at it from my own conscience and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And so I see that there are some principles in Scripture and some commands in Scripture. That's what you want me to do. Lord, I want to live clean. I want to live according to your word. So if you make the decision, Lord, I want to be clean. And you make a second decision, I want to stay clean, keep short accounts, and I'm going to use your word as my guide. You're well on the way to victory. Because the old devil cannot combat the word of God. He will argue with you, even in the Garden of Eden. You remember whenever the old devil came up to Eve and he said, "Hath God said?" He's been questioning what God said and trying to get us to question what God said for thousands and thousands of years. He's been trying to get you and I to doubt the word of God. So when you and I claim it as our own and say, Lord, I'm going to use your word as my guide, then you're well on the way to victory. You can have victory. Notice, if you would, not only that, but here's a big one that's important for you and I to learn, is real growth. Now let's take just a minute. You get saved, and most people stay right here. Most Christians. So you have to learn. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be around godly Christians. And so you begin to grow. You make a commitment. You begin to make a commitment to read my Bible. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to do what's right in your sight. You make another step of growth. And then, Lord, when I see I didn't do something right, I'm going to say I'm sorry quickly. I'm not going to argue about it, Lord. I'm just going to ask you to forgive me. You make another step of growth. And Lord, I'm going to use your word as my guide. Whatever your word says, that's what I'm going to take. You took another step of growth. So the people that have just gotten saved have grown dramatically to here. And their lives are different because they're following the guide of the Lord. And so they're over here. Now, there's one other thing that you'll notice as you begin to take God's word and begin to look at it. And it says, love not the world. Okay, that means I'm not supposed to love the things of the world. And it says, watch out for the pride of life. Okay, I got to watch out for positions in life that I don't let those become too important to me. And then the lust of the eyes, I got to be careful what my eyes see. So you make these decisions based upon God's word, and it keeps you living above sin. And when you step your foot into sin, you can quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry. And it's cleaned up. Growth is required for all of us. Are you growing today? Now, faith comes in. I know when I pray and say, Lord, forgive me, it's forgiven. Do you have the faith to trust the Lord? By the way, when you put your faith and trust in Christ the day you got saved, it required faith. Remember, it says faith is the victory. Your confidence in the Lord your God is what gives you victory. Your confidence that this is His word. Your confidence that He will forgive you. That is what gives you victory. Now, there's one another part of this growth process. And I want you to notice this, if you would. Notice in chapter 2 and verse number 17. A critical part of growth. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You and I have to get our focus on eternal things and not temporal things. Everybody in this room, if you're going to be a victorious Christian life, you got to take your eyes off the today and now and put them on one of these days. As Brother Scott so wonderfully sang this morning, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to see him. I want to make sure he's pleased with me. But you cannot be a growing Christian unless you recognize and in your heart say, the world passes away. This job's going to pass away one of these days. This house is going to pass away one of these days. It puts everything into perspective. Without that phrase in your mind, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. It protects you because you realize that's not something of great value. That's not something of great value. That's not something that lasts. So a one-night stand is something that a Christian can look at and say, I'm not doing that. The world passeth away. The lust passeth away. I'm not doing that. You look toward the eternal and not for the temporal. A Christian has got to have the mindset that I'm living for heaven. Otherwise, you cannot have victory. Now, it takes faith to do that. The world will tell you, hey, live life now. Live it to the fullest. This is all there is. 1 second past death, it's over. Nothing else is going to happen. Well, you know what? According to God's word, that is a lie. And you and I have to get to the point, if we're going to grow into the Christian life, we've got to get to the principle of the world passes away. Everybody here. The world passes away. And everything of the world, all the lusts of the world, all the desires of the world, it passes away. The other day, I was driving back from a hospital visit, actually seeing Mr. Frelick, who's doing much better. And I noticed beside me was a Rolls Royce. And it was an elderly gentleman driving the truck. But it was, you know, put up on a tow truck. And it was obvious that it was an older Rolls Royce. And it was obvious that somebody was going to restore it because it didn't look in all that great a shape. And I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, somebody their whole life probably worked to buy that Rolls Royce. You know, anybody in this room got a Rolls Royce? No, nobody. We don't. Because we're not going to put $300,000 into something your wife can wrap around the pole. Or we're not going to put $300,000 into something you can't live in. That just doesn't make any sense for normal people. So here you and I are. We look at it and we see, I see this Rolls Royce. And I say, wow, that's pretty cool. That's a Rolls Royce. And it's probably worth, you know, $25,000. Because it was 20 years old. You know what? I wonder if the guy said, I'm going to put $300,000 into this. And one of these days, they're going to sell it for $20,000. One of these days, it's going to go to the junkyard and I'm going to see that machine go, and there goes all my money. Do you realize the vehicle you're driving, one of these days, is going to go to the junkyard? Every one of us. Now, you may be saying, Pastor, could that be tomorrow? I'd like to do that. I'd like to get rid of this car. But most of the time, we look at our vehicles and we're very thankful that this one, if it runs well and takes care of you and the air blows cold, you're good and you're thankful for it and it's a great blessing to you. But you cannot get caught up in the things of this life are important. Spiritual growth comes when you realize what is important to the Lord. What lasts forever? People. Relationships. People. You'll notice your love for Christ lasts forever. Anything done for the Lord Jesus a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name does not lose its reward. In order to have the victorious Christian life, we have to be doing things that we're looking back on and we can see, that's going to be in heaven. That's going to be in heaven. That's going to be in heaven. We're investing well. Today, where are your investments? Are you laboring for retirement? Are you laboring to get that Rolls Royce? Seriously doubt that's in here. But maybe you just want, let's say, I'll just take a Lamborghini. Or I'll just take a Ferrari. Or, I mean, the other day I was riding behind, I was coming to work, and I heard this rumble, a really cool car it sounded like. And I said, what is that sound? And it had a deep throated, sounded like a big block engine. And it just ran so smooth. It was a cool sound. I pulled up. It was a restored Maverick. Anybody remember when they made the Maverick? Well, how much was that worth, John? What do you think that Maverick was worth when they first built? You know, like, how much? 1995. There you go. Did you have one? No. Anybody have a Maverick? Oh, I see. Two people had a Maverick. Three had a Maverick. You know, this one was restored and it was perfect. I mean, and it was probably worth $3,000 when it's brand new. I mean, it just wasn't worth much. I don't know why you'd restore something that wasn't worth much in the first place. So why are we restoring things and saving things that aren't worth much in the first place? I looked at that guy. His wife is sitting there. And they got the windows down, air's blowing, her hair's blowing. It's 95 degrees. Why would you restore like a nut? A car don't have air conditioning. I don't get that. That's just like us restoring something that doesn't matter. If I'm going to restore something, I'm going to restore a Rolls Royce. I'm going to restore a Jaguar. I'm going to restore something of value. But that's just like us. We put our value on things that don't matter. In order to grow in the Christian life, we have to put our faith in what the Lord said, that's going to pass away. Live for this. So I'm going to exercise my faith in a holy life. And it doesn't matter if everybody else says, well, I don't see why you got to do this, why you got to do that. I mean, today, did you know marriage they're giving out less marriage license today than ever before? And the part of the reason, because people are living together first. Do you understand that that's called immorality in Scripture? And you and I can say, yeah, but everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't mean it is eternal. The Bible says, whoso getteth a wife getteth a good thing. So there are things the Lord says, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. I'll bless you here. Labor for that which lasts. The Christian says, I'm going to put my eyes on heaven. If you don't do that, now, you know what? It takes faith to do that. It takes faith. It takes faith to invest money out of your check that you can have and use now. It takes faith for you to put money back in hopes that one of these days you'll have enough money to take care of you when you're older. That takes faith. Only problem is, you can invest that in the stock market and lose it in one day. You can invest it in almost anything in this life and lose it. How many of you have ever lost money on a house? Raise your hand. You bought a house and it didn't work out. You lost a little money when you sold it. Raise your hand. Let me see it. All of that. Okay. So people lost money on a house. Usually you'd say, well, you don't lose money. Did you at one point in time, the city of Las Vegas, all of the houses in the city of Las Vegas were upside down, 80% of them at one point in time. So you know what the moral of that story is? Don't live in Las Vegas. So you and I look at, no, really the moral story is don't put your investment in your house. Don't put your investment in your car. Put your investment in the things of the Lord, that which lasts. In trying to help people. In trying to be a blessing to people. In praying for people. I want you to notice quickly, not only that, but when we grow in Him, whenever you'll notice when we decide to abide in Him. If you have your Bible, look at verse 28. And now, little children, this is 2:28, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, a part of what we're living for is to see the Lord with joy. So you take your life and you say by faith, I'm going to live. So when I see Him, I've never seen the Lord. But by faith, I will one day. So your faith is the victory. But you've got to have faith in the right things. You've got to have faith that I'm laying up treasure in heaven. So that one of these days, and so as a result of you growing in the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my soul. I want to live clean before you. Lord, I want to use your word as my guide. I'm going to put my value on things that matter for eternity in your sight. I'm going to remember that these things pass away. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to decide in my heart to walk with you. Abide in him. It's whenever you have this great burning desire to walk with the Lord. To stay with him. Moses had that. Daniel had that. Job had that. Paul had that. That's why you could beat, kick, and scratch those guys. You could beat him with rods. He's still going to love the Lord. Why? Because he wants to abide with him. I wonder how many of us are really living the Christian life. We have victory over sin. We have a peace in our heart. We have a joy in our life. Notice with me, if you would, part of the end result of that. Look, if you would, in verse number 3, chapter 3, verse number 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If you're not in the majority, you got to realize that and say, it's okay, by faith, I don't have to be. By faith, I'm willing to be in the minority. By faith, I'm willing to trust the Lord. He said, don't be marveled. Why is it nobody likes me? Why is it people make fun of me? Why is it? It's not because you're weird. It's because you won't lie when other people will lie. You won't cheat when somebody else will cheat. I one time read an article about college graduates, and 80-something percent cheated at one point in time to get through school. And you say, I'm not doing that. Some guy gets a copy of the test on Friday, and it's the final exam, and you can make an A on the test, and they give you a copy of it and say, here, you can have a copy of the test. I don't want that. Why not? It's free. I don't want that. I want to earn it. What's something wrong with you? Don't be marveling and saying, why is it they don't like us? Okay, I'll just take it back then. If you're not going to be grateful for what I'm trying to do for you. No, you don't understand. I want to do the right thing. Well, the right thing is make the best grade you can. They don't operate off a copy of God's Word. They operate off the standards of the world. Get as far as you can, no matter how it is. And God's children are different. So the world looks at us and says, I don't like you. I don't trust you. You're going to have that at work if you're honest. You're going to have it with people. If you're clean young lady or a clean young man, those people won't date you. Because they want something different. Notice with me, if you would, I look at it and I realize that it's faith that gives us the victory. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You know what he's saying? He's saying you can be a victor. If you're born of God, you can have victory in your life. So it is something that goes with salvation. Now, that's the part that you and I earn, is the victory. But the relationship is permanent. You become God's child, that's settled forever. But if you want victory, now you got to work for it. But he says, look here, whenever you step foot inside heaven, I got a bunch of rewards for you if you'll live in victory. The question is, where are you going to put your efforts? The world passeth away. Heaven is forever. The things of this life are forever. I'm reminded of this. We look at Gideon, and we sort of look at him as a little bit of a, he was threshing wheat, kind of hiding. I'd probably done that. The Midianites were after me. They didn't want anybody to thresh wheat, and I was hungry. I'd probably thresh it quietly too. But many of the theologians have said, you know, he was a weak person and he didn't have a lot of faith and this and that. I'll tell you what he did. At the end of his life, he got to the point where he said, let's charge the Midianites, 300 of us, with lanterns. Now that takes faith. A lot more faith than I've got. So I look at him and I see, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do, but Lord, would you make this the ground wet? Or in that, Lord, would you make now just make the skin wet? Lord, forgive me, Lord, but I'm just worried about I'm making a mistake. You see this indecisive man, but whenever he finally got to the victorious Christian life, he walks, gets on the mountain, says, okay, now, and breaks the lantern and starts yelling, and the sword of the Lord and Gideon be upon thee. 300 of us against thousands of Midianites. All they had to do was say, that's that idiot Gideon. Let's go get him. Faith causes us to do things the world cannot understand. Faith gives us the victory. If you got somebody in your family that's not doing what's right, have the faith to pray for them. Faith. Sometimes people don't have enough faith for themselves. You step in and shoulder the load for them. Let's have some intercessory Christians in this room. That's a part of the victorious Christian life. I've got on my prayer list some people, some family members of people in this room that are unsaved. I've prayed for some of them for as long as 20 years. And I'm not taking them off my prayer list. And whenever someone goes wayward, I put them on my prayer list. And I've got some people I'm praying for that are wayward young people that I'm praying the Lord brings back. Some of your young people, I'm praying the Lord brings them back. I'm praying for some of the marriages. I'm praying that the Lord will, Pastor, you know, that's not going to happen. Where's your faith? There's a God in heaven that controls the hearts of kings. He changed Jonah's heart. Oh, I know he didn't get all the way down to it. And there are some times when a person makes a decision on their own, but they pay the price. And they can't stand before the Lord and say, nobody cared. Where are the Christians that live in victory? Do you understand this? Nobody can make you do what's wrong. But nobody can make you do what's right either. That's where the victorious Christian says, I want to have a great home. I want to have a great heart for Christ. I am reminded constantly that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's something you can put your fingers around, but you can't hold on to it. It's something that's real, but it's not something you can touch. But it is what gives you and I the victory. I know there's a God in heaven that'll forgive me. I know there's a God in heaven that's given me a copy of His Word that wants me to live a certain way. I know that one of these days when I step foot in heaven, He'll be pleased with me. Listen to this verse again. And now, little children, abide in Him that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. And not be ashamed before Him. So there are going to be children that are going to be ashamed before the Lord. And this word ashamed is the root word is one that is scarred for life. It is someone that's been in a fire and they've been ruined. It's disgraced. And it's that's the reason. Let me read you this verse and we'll close. In Revelation chapter 22, I want you to listen to this verse. Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and that there be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When we get to heaven, there are going to be some people that chose not to live by faith. And when they step foot inside heaven, no, it was real. And they begin to weep uncontrollably, and the Lord's going to have to reach down and wipe away their tears. Question is, will it be you and I? And my prayer is that everybody in this room would get a hold of your life and say, I want to live clean. And you look at your life. And you confess the things that you know are not right according to Scripture. And you'd take God's Word and add those principles to your life. And you'd choose what's valuable. You'd say, the world passes away. I'm not going there. That doesn't mean we just turn our backs on houses and lands. It just means they're not of great value to us. They're just stuff. I want to see the Lord. I wonder what it was like when the Apostle Paul stepped foot inside heaven. Wow. I would imagine the Lord met him and said, welcome home. I wonder what it was like when John the Apostle stepped foot inside heaven. The Lord said, welcome home. I wonder what it was like when Spurgeon stepped foot inside heaven. The Lord said, welcome home. I wonder what it was like when Fanny Crosby, who was blind, wrote famous songs that exhibited faith, stepped inside heaven, and she could see. She wrote a song about that, you know. Today, where's your faith? Are you living in victory? It's one of the reasons Jesus died, was so that the world would have no power over you, His children. Today, are you living in victory? It's a choice. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of Imitation Hymn. Faith is the victory. Have you decided to follow the Lord? Have you decided to put the Lord first? Fanny Crosby said, when I see Him, and she had no sight, that's faith. Maybe today you say, Pastor, I need to come talk to the Lord because I want to have victory. Victory is in your grasp. Could I encourage you to come? Maybe you love someone and you want them to have victory. Why don't you live in victory so you have power with the Lord to pray for them? He said, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Let's exhibit our faith. Folks, let's not give up. Let's live in victory. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. Father, if there's any here today that have never trusted you as Savior, they have no spiritual second birthday. Lord, the physical birthday and the spiritual birthday, Lord, they don't have names not written in the book of life. Would you help them to come this morning, get it settled? Remove the fear, Lord. Remove the old devil's excuses for them. Lord, give them the courage to come. And maybe there's those here today, Lord Jesus, that haven't been pleasing you. Lord, we've been living by our sights on this world. Lord, help us to come and change the sights of our life. Realize that heaven is worth it. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those hearts today. Maybe someone needs to be baptized. People need to join our church. Whatever the need is, Lord, help them to come this morning and do your will. In your name we pray. Amen.